You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilkins bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation. This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton greeting you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon. And we greet and welcome all of you wherever you are. If you're listening on the radio, maybe you're on the internet someplace on a computer. Well, we welcome you to the program. We're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1 in the afternoon. And we've called this program for years, 18 plus, what, Donna?
Raising the Standard.
We want to raise the standard in the body of Christ.
Amen.
And so when I think about raising the standard, the main thing we got to understand about raising the standard, the Word of God too, don't we?
That's right.
So we welcome you. We greet you. So I hope you can stay tuned for the whole hour. Like we tell you every week, if you can't, you're out moving around or going places and you can't stay and listen to the whole thing, we do offer a CD or a tape, whichever one you want.
Thank you, Lord.
And all we ask for is a love offering.
Yes.
And if you'd like to have a copy of that, of what we're going to do today, all we ask for is to make out a check to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries and mail it to Post Office Box 413, Stuart, Florida. And the zip is 34995. And whatever the Lord tells you, well, then you put it in there. You'll be blessed, and this ministry will be blessed as well to continue to accomplish what God wants. And so
Amen.
We praise God for all you listeners. Many of you we know, you listen week after week after week, because sometimes we've gone for months, and somebody will call and say, "Oh, I've been listening to you for 2 or 3 years or whatever." Or someone will pop in and visit. So wherever you are, we greet you, and I know there's somebody listening today for the very first time. We welcome you to the program, and we're attempting in every way we can with the help of the Holy Ghost to raise the standard in the body of Christ to a new place today that God will want us to have and to walk in the fullness of the anointing of the Holy Ghost. As the King James says, we have an unction to function, hallelujah, and that's what we want, the anointing. So we greet you and welcome you as always. We love you. We thank you for listening in, and it's not about us. It's about Him and about His Word, and we're going to talk about the Word a little bit more today. We've been talking about the Torah the last two weeks with some understandings I wrote in my book about the Torah and the significance of it today. It's not obsolete. It's not been done away with. We hear so much. It's still active and alive today. And we know we don't do all the ceremonial things we talked about the last 2 weeks, but there's spiritual truths in it, just like Paul said in Romans chapter 7, that the Torah is spiritual. Hallelujah. There's spiritual truths in it that we need to have. And so thank God for that. So we greet you and welcome you. And as we said, we hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour, because we love you and we want you to hear something that maybe will touch you in a new way to understand what God's wanting you to accomplish and do in your life, because we're all here for a purpose. As Esther was in her day. We're not too far away from Purim. Esther was there for such a time as her day. You're all here at this time for such a time as this. And we got this word a couple of weeks ago, or rather, longer than a couple of weeks ago, about this is going to be a war this year, a warring in the spirit, right, Pastor Don? We're going to war in the spiritual realm. And so that means we have to stand tall, know what the word says, and we declare it, proclaim it, and we walk in the fullness of it, and we thank the Lord that he'll follow up with what we're going to pray about, and he's going to have it to happen. And so we thank you for that. So we release that.
Amen.
A new stirring this year in America, in a new way. A warring spirit of faith that we're going to walk into and trust God that he's going to bring the breakthrough. But we have to be willing to pray and bring before him the things that he puts on our heart. So a lot of times when I pray, I say, Lord, what do you want me to pray about? So I just wait a few minutes and listen, and then he'll usually give me something, and then I'll start praying on that, and then we go from that point on. So that's what you do. So we need a warring spirit this year to accomplish what needs to
that's
be done
right.
in America.
We do. Praise God.
Because we're going down the wrong path. It's quite obvious what we're seeing in our country today, how everything we're going down the wrong way. And so we hope you can stay tuned in for the whole program. Like I said, we're honored to be here with you, and we're here on this program. We have 18-plus years. It's hard to believe, Pastor Don, but here we are. And so we thank you, and we're going to talk about some things I think will be interesting today, more things about the Word of God that we need to know. And so, Pastor Don, is there anything you want
Praise
to mention
God.
Before we start doing a little teaching on this today with everyone?
No, I think, I want to give our telephone number.
Okay, and about our meetings.
And mention about
meetings.
Our services here in Stuart, Florida. Mm-hmm. We're in Stuart, Florida. Mm-hmm. And we would just pray also that, that you are going to have a good year.
A good year,
you know, because this is going to be a good year for those who are seeking truth.
That's right.
For those who are seeking, and that's what we're going to talk about, truth, you know.
And seeking
the
God.
The world is deceived because they don't know God.
That's right.
The people who are out in the world, you know. And the Bible says it will be like that. But what about all the people in the church that are deceived because they don't know the truth?
That's right.
And so if the people in the church, the churches will wake up.
That's right.
And know the truth, then, you know, there'll be changes. Things will happen, and the people in the church will be on the right track and be praying, seeking the Lord, have boldness, be that trumpet that we're supposed to be, and sound that alarm.
Amen.
And, you know, and God says everything is going to shake, and so we just need to know that when he starts shaking things, that we are on a firm foundation.
That's right. What's left.
If we don't know the truth,
excuse me.
We won't be on that firm foundation.
That's right.
And so we'll be confused. And then we're like a bunch of people wandering around in a wilderness because we don't know the truth. So the Bible says the truth will make us free.
Hallelujah.
So we need to know the truth.
That's
well,
right.
I do want to mention that we have services here in Stuart, Florida, Friday night at 7 p.m. We have our Shabbat service. And on Saturday, we come together at 4 o'clock. And we have a teaching, or we have a video, and that's on Saturdays. And we close out our service with a little meal, and we pray and close out the Sabbath. And then we come together on Sunday at 10 a.m. to worship God. For it says in the Bible, in Revelation 19:10, it says, worship God, for the testimony of Jesus, or Yeshua.
Is. Ooh, is.
Is.
Not was, is.
The spirit of prophecy.
Yes.
Is the spirit of prophecy. So come and worship with us sometime, some Friday, some Saturday, or some Sunday. We're here in Stuart, Florida, right on State Road 76 and Monterey Road. Our phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007. 7007. And the name of the church is, our ministry is called Spirit of Prophecy.
Hallelujah.
In Stuart, Florida. Amen.
Right.
We want to say hello to Roscoe and Audrey over on Andros Island.
That's right.
Building the temple of God, not only spiritually, but literally building the temple of God. The blocks, beautiful blocks. They're decorative blocks. They're going up, and the building is going to be having, the roof is going to be going on soon. And so if you'd like to help to purchase materials for this wonderful
building
for the Lord,
temple
for
of
people's,
God.
God's people to worship in.
Hallelujah.
Please give us a call. We would love to have you help us, and they would appreciate that. Anything that you could do to help, help the supplies there. Things are expensive, and everything has to be practically shipped over there to them. So it's cost money. But God is our source. But, God uses people, places, and things to supply our needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Well, we're blessed to be here.
Are we glad? Yes. We're glad.
We're glad.
God, look glad.
I'm glad.
We're glad.
I'm glad. We're glad that we're alive.
Amen.
We're glad that we're healthy. We're glad that we have the joy of the Lord.
That's right.
Because if you don't have joy, you don't have God's strength.
Yeah.
You know, if you get joy and you get refreshed in the Lord, that's why we have our soaking on Friday nights. You know, we come into God's presence and we're seeking the presence of the Lord. You know, I'm going to mention this right up front because maybe somebody remember we have Gary Brooks come many times, many years. And he releases the anointing, the seeking God's face, and dreams and visions and all those things. And we're going to have a 3-day soaking time coming up in February.
And to honor him,
a tribute to him, because he came for many years and he got this got us going. You know, sometimes you have to be stirred. In something, stirred in the anointing. Well, he's gone on to be with the Father. He's in heaven now. But, and it was a sudden thing. It was a suddenly.
Yes.
But he was in the glory so much, God just caught him away in the glory. And it was a suddenly. And so, but when God brings something and starts something in your life or in your church or in your home, wherever it's at, and if it's a God thing, you don't stop because somebody's not there to keep it going.
That's
no,
right.
You have to keep putting the fire of the Holy Ghost, and stir yourself. And don't let that die out, God wants us to stay on fire for Him. So we're going to have a tribute for Prophet Gary Brooke. He hasn't been gone almost not a year yet.
Not
it won't
yet,
be
no.
Until around May, I believe it is. And he had his home going. But he always came around this time of the year.
Into January,
1st of February.
Yeah.
So we're going to have that time, and we're going to have prayer and fasting and worship and soaking and seeking God's presence. So if you want to know more about that, you can call us on that as well. And we'll let you know more about that, the time and the dates and what it's all about. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. So we want to say hello to Roscoe and Audrey, like I said, and to others out there. How about Harvey? Harley, I'll get his name straight. Harley. And people up North Carolina.
Daryl and Judy McCrae, yeah.
And others.
They're
and,
all part
of
around us.
Around the globe, actually, WCNO. You can listen to this broadcast again if you want to go to WCNO and just go to Saturday and look for Raising the Standard at 12 noon. And Pastor Gene Hilton's name's on there. And you can listen to us again as we begin to teach now. Amen. In
Amen.
Jesus' name.
Well, the last 2 weeks we talked about the Torah and how important it was.
It is.
The Torah is the first 5 books of the Bible.
That's right.
And the Tanakh is the entire first covenant, okay, from beginning to end. So we've talked a lot about that. So I just kind of got quickened here today a little bit. And even during the week I was thinking about it. That, I've got a 2-CD series on our table at the church. And I don't know how many people at our church has listened to it. I know one couple that got a couple of them, but I called it The King James Version Stands Alone. And what I did, I had a three-thought presentation with the 2 CDs. that I might talk about a little bit here, but I'll make it available to you if you'd like to have it for a love offering. But what I did is I told, first of all, how we got this perverted Bible that we have today from the perverted Greek text that we have all these translations that are written, the New Testament, on that perverted Greek text that came from the Alexandrian area in Egypt instead of what tells us in Antioch in the New Testament. That's what we want. We want those scriptures that came from Antioch.
Antioch.
Where the church was first called, what? The church, you know, really, the ecclesia. And so on the CDs, I talk about how that all came about, and two people was very instrumental, two well-known men that were really not born again. They were spiritualists, Westcott and Hort, and how all this came to pass, and it was dormant for a lot of years, and all of a sudden, the devil began to use it to bring out all these other translations. So I'm going to talk about that on that series. And then the second thing I wanted to talk about was my testimony. What I went through, I'll be honest with you, I went through living hell for about 6 months, because when I first got born again, and Don and I, the church we went to and the pastor we were under was 100% King James, wasn't he, Pastor Don? We couldn't teach kids or anybody else anything except out of the King James Version Bible. Well, the year I got saved in 1982 is when the full New King James came out. Now, in 1970...
The New King James.
Right. When 1979 is when the New Testament was written and made the New King James. Well, then in 82, the whole entire Bible was translated, and it's called the New King James Version. Well, I was foolish enough to get into that and under that because of a pastor we were under for a while, and I just assumed that it was okay. But after I got stirred and found out some things that how false it was, well, then I got looking at it, and it changed my heart.
You started digging.
I started digging, and I finally got a book from Gail Ripplinger. If you hope you know who she is, she wrote a book called New Age Bible Versions. It's about almost 3 inches thick. It took me 6 months to get through that, and as I read it, and I looked up, I didn't just read it as a book. I looked up the scriptures, looked up what she was talking about, and because she'd taken all these translations and translated and collated by chapter and verse while she was sick at home, because she was a full professor, couldn't work, and what she did with all that. And as I looked at it, the more pain I had in my heart. I saw things in my New King James Bible that I wrote down and put little notes on verses and all, and found out they were wrong.
Wrong.
They were wrong. And so my heart just began to cry out, God, what's going on? And you can ask my wife, I went through a terrible time for 6 months, didn't I, Pastor Don?
And we all know, well, I don't know if we all know, because we don't all know, because a lot of people use the NIV.
That's right.
And, of course, that one is really bad. But, you know, you kind of thought, well, this New King James, this is not that bad. But, and so you kind of fought with God over it.
I did. I fought
but
with him.
But then as you looked up scriptures, not only in the New King James, but in the NIV and a lot of the other Bibles, because you've got probably most of the Bibles, a lot of the Bibles that you use for reference just to see what's wrong
what's
with these
done.
Other Bibles and
right.
what has been done, how it's been perverted. And so even then you really started to see some things in the New King James that really, really was
almost,
New Age,
yeah,
really.
New Age, yeah. Almost
age.
Blasphemous to God,
right.
yeah.
And so, you know, because they have changed words and the power, when you change a word, you change a definition. And so you change the meaning of something. And so then, you know, a lot of these Bibles are watered down. What? And to appease people's souls because they don't want to be really holy. There's only one holy Bible.
That's right.
And, you know, I mean, we don't read the Hebrew. It would be good if we could all read the Hebrew, but we don't. We live in America, so the closest thing we have is the King James Version, I believe. But, you know, you really sought the Lord for this truth. But, you know, you talked about Westcott and Hort, these two men that were spiritualists. They
yeah.
were spiritualists. That doesn't mean they knew the Lord or the
nope.
Holy Ghost.
No. Nope.
You know, other spirits spoke to them.
That's right.
And you know, you don't need a whole lot of wrong teaching. You just need a few things that can really change your whole thought about a topic or something, you know, about the world. How about the Godhead? You just need a few changes and then, you know, people don't even understand the Godhead.
They call it the divine nature. Or a divine, that could be anything, but the Godhead is quite clear. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
And the New King James calls it the divine nature. Well, that's really, that really does. It's a twisting of the word. And so when you twist the word and you pervert the word, you know, you're bringing in sin and iniquity and twisting. And the Bible talks about twisting the word of God. And I think about these two men. You said it was dormant for a while. But, you know, any seed, any bad seed any seed that the devil will plant, it might stay dormant for a while.
Right.
But, you know, a seed, if somebody gets to it and starts to work on that and starts writing this Bible, you know, that seed starts to grow.
That's right.
And so now it grows. So what does it do? It grows from one version to another version to another kind of version to now we have a non-gender version. You have all these different versions, and then no wonder the people are confused and they don't know the truth. They don't even know what Bible to buy.
That's right.
You know, you go into a bookstore and you look for a Bible, and you know, there's all kinds of Bibles in there.
Or you listen to some man that tells you what to get.
The Holy Bible.
That's right.
And you know, in some places you don't even it's hard to find even a King James Bible.
That's right.
You know, you can always find them in the dollar store, but you know, the print is so small you can't even see them.
That's right.
See it. But you know, you want to get in the right book. If you get
That's
in the right.
right
book, you won't have all this confusion. You won't have to retrain your thoughts. Because it took a while, and even to this day, how long have we been back in the King James Bible?
A lot of years.
Even to this day, once in a while, your mind will go back.
And you'll quote something out of that book instead of the King James.
That's right. To the one you were studying out of for maybe 5 or 10 years, because you have to rewash
your thought pattern. That's right.
You have to get in the right vein. You know, you have to
be renewed again.
Renewed in the that's exactly what the Bible says.
That's right.
The King James Bible says, "Be renewed in the spirit of your mind." See, your spirit takes in things.
Your spirit takes in things. That's
and
right.
It plants them in your mind. It's like I'm going to type something on my computer. Well, it's there, but you know, I can just delete it. Nowadays, you can just delete it, but. You know, in the past, you had to pull out the typewriter paper, put it new, and start all over again. Oh, and you make a mistake, you pull it out, you start all over again. But, you know, your mind is like that. It holds things. It remembers things.
And it's hard to reprogram.
And so you have to, you have to do what the Bible says. Renew the spirit of your mind.
That's
so
right.
You have to get a new spirit, and which will bring in a new thought, which will bring in a greater understanding of what the truth is.
So I covered in this CD series, first of all, how it came into being, mm-hmm. this perverted Greek text, and then I gave my testimony, what I went through, and in the third part, I went through a lot of examples in the Bible of subtle things that's been done, and some of it's not very subtle. I mean, it's downright bold, and that's what I shared on these two CDs. So if you'd like to get a copy of that, I'm going to offer it to you for $25. There's two CDs on it about... The King James Version stands alone. There's nothing that compares with it. And so it's available to you. All you have to do is make out a check to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, mail it to Post Office Box 413. It's in Stuart, Florida, and the zip is 34995. Amen.
Can we do better than 25?
What?
Can we do better than 25?
Yeah, they want to give
about
more than
20.
Well, whatever then. Give it to them for $20 then.
You know, everybody needs to hear. We have a lady in our church, and she comes and she gets them, and she gives them out to people.
That's right.
She gives them out to people, just like she gives out a lot of your pictures of the Messiah. Because these are things that we need to know, because we're living in the last days, and the devil is out to kill, steal, and destroy. And his main thing is to destroy the Word of God, so that you would not know the truth, and I would not know the truth, and we would be in bondage.
That's right.
You know, because if we're not made free, then we're still in bondage. We're still in bondage. That means we don't know the truth, and so we're going to be deceived. And people will deceive us. We'll hear preaching on TV or on the radio, and we'll be confused because we don't know
the truth.
The truth is the main thing. We need to know the truth.
That's it, absolutely.
Amen.
So, you know, I'm challenging all of you listening. If you're not in the King James Bible, well, you might. I hope you don't have to fuss like I did, because I fussed and argued with God. But just yield to what he wants to show you. And we're going to talk about some things today that might help you. Because the majority of people today, and most of the pastors, are in the NIV version. And I mentioned this on the program before, that the NIV has 64,098 less words than the King James. The new versions come out now have even more words that's been taken out. And the Bible warns us in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2, not to add to nor diminish anything from God's word. And we read in Revelation chapter 22, 18 and 19 verses over there. It tells you what? Don't you add anything, and don't you take anything away. And so
I want to mention one other thing that I think is happening. You know, there's a lot of people that are coming into wanting to know more about the Hebrew. okay. and the Jewish understanding, mm-hmm. and looking up Jewish words and looking up Jewish names. And we have that able blessing to do that easily. You know, anyone can do it that has a computer or a smartphone. They can look right. up a name. But there's many, there are some Bibles, some Bibles that are for in English, but what would I call them? They have a lot of Jewishness in them.
Right.
Because they're written for the Jewish people, and there's some Jewish names in it, which is fine, you know. The word Yeshua is in some of them, and a lot of different names, and there's a lot of different Bibles. But if that Bible that was written was taken from the Westcott and Hort
translation,
then there's error in it.
That's right.
And from what I understand,
a Jewish Bible.
From what I understand, all of them have been
Jewish
taken
New Testament
from the Westcott and Hort.
That's right.
Now, had they taken them from the Antioch, then it would be less error. It would be more like the King James.
That's
it would be
right.
like the King James.
It wouldn't be perverted.
Only it would have Hebrew words in it and Hebrew meanings and maybe
right.
some definitions. Because, you know, people are hungry for this. And I think that's because God wants, he's calling the one new man. And so the one new man is, and we could teach a lot about the one new man, but the one new man is should not be separating people.
That's right.
And what it is doing is sometimes it's separating people.
Us. That's right.
And what it's supposed to bring us together.
Amen.
Bring us together. So, and not to argue over things, but to bring us together to know the truth. But if still, if those Bibles that are, I would call them, you know, Hebrew Bibles in English, whatever, you know, I can name a couple of them. But I'm not going to do that right now. But if they have taken their information from Westcott and Hort,
Greek text,
then there's error.
There's error going to be in it, a lot of error. And so mm-hmm. we have to remember mm-hmm. that. We keep talking about this. The Bible we want, the first covenant has to be translated on the Masoretic text, okay? Not some other one. Mm-hmm. And also the New Testament has to be done on the Textus Receptus, or called the majority text, where they had the majority of the manuscript. We don't have the originals, but we have copies. And when the King James was put in place, there was a little over 5,000 of those that they had. Today, they've even found more proof of it. And so that's what they based it all on. So that's why it's important. We want the majority text, not what one or two or five or six verses that they think was wrong, and then they write a whole New Testament. That's what's happened.
From two men.
From two men.
Two men.
That's right. Therefore, they weren't even really born again. And so we have to understand that. But as we think about this, you know, God wants us to know the complete truth in everything. And I think about this, you know, if you buy a King James Bible from Cambridge, for instance, you know, Cambridge, England, well, I've got two or three of them. There's not one footnote down the center. There's nothing whatsoever. You can copy that, Xerox it. You can do whatever you want with it, because the King James text itself was never what?
It's not a copyright.
It's not a copyright.
All the others are.
All the others, if you use certain verses out of these Bibles, you have to get permission to do that.
They have men's opinions.
That's right. So I'm challenging you, when you read books, some books, I've got one I just got here right now, that has five or six different translations in the book to try to explain things. Well, they're going to pick something out of those other translations that sounds good for what they want to tell you. So we want to make sure when I see those, it's in whatever version, I'll pull out the King James, I'll look it up and see what the King James has to say for that same verse. That's what I'm challenging you with here today, because that's the truth. And so this is what we had happen. And so the Bible just slowly was watered down. Look what we have today. We probably have over at least maybe 200 translations. We have paraphrases, not even translations, like the Message and some of the stuff that people are in. And so why do we claim
Bible?
Yeah, and they tell you, well, it's easier to read. No.
Fifth Remember, grade level.
King James, fifth grade level. NIV, seventh grade level. And they just go right on up. And so we have to keep that in mind. So I'm going to read a scripture out of the Bible here with you today. And then we're going to give you a few examples here. I'm going to go to Matthew chapter 5, and I'm going to tell you what the Lord said, okay? Although we know that Deuteronomy chapter 4 over there, verse 2, was also written by the Lord, because he's the Word, and also
yes,
Revelation chapter 22. But I want to go to Matthew 5 with you if you're at home. You can open up your Bible and listen to what the Spirit of the Lord's going to tell you. Verse 17 says, Jesus is speaking, Yeshua, think not that I am come to destroy the law. Now, the first thing you want to look at is this word destroy. Now, I've looked this up many times, even with the Hebrew understanding, it means to abolish it. We talked about this the last 2 weeks. So he said, I didn't come to destroy or abolish what? The Torah, the first five books in the Bible, or the prophets. Okay, now here we got the Tanakh coming in place. I am not come what? to destroy what, or to abolish what, but to fulfill. Now, everything that was spoken in the Bible about Yeshua has to be fulfilled. We know that. But the fulfilling here, if we look this word up with the Greek understanding and also the Hebrew, we find out it's to make the meaning of a full of a verse full or complete in our mind. And then he says, "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot." Well, what is the jot? Donna talks about this a lot. It's the yod. Not one yod or one tittle, the smallest letter in the Hebrew writing, shall in no wise pass from what? The law of the Torah, till all be what? Fulfilled. So everything's going to be fulfilled, but it also, God's wanting us to know the fulfillment of what the Torah has to say for us to understand what it says today. What's Matthew 5, 6, and 7 all about? Jesus was telling the saints at that time that were coming to him and all, and also to the Jewish people who weren't believers, these are the attitudes and things that we ought to have if we're in the kingdom of God, okay? And they thought they were in the kingdom of God, but they really found out later on, I guess, I hope they did, most of them, that they couldn't be in the kingdom of God without asking Yeshua to come into their lives. And so he explains all these things because it's a thing of the heart. It's what he came to change. And so I'm going to read that verse again. He says, "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass one jot," that means the one little yod, okay, "or one tittle, shall in no wise," the smallest stroke in the Hebrew, "and shall in no wise pass from the Torah till all be fulfilled." And then he goes on and says, "Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments." Now we got people in these other Bibles with other translations. Well, they're twisting some of the commandments, and some of them have even been removed. "Whosoever therefore shall break one of the least of these commandments and shall teach men." Well, this is what got me scared when I said, "God, I got to get on the right word here." And he caused me to come back. Thank you, Lord, with the Holy Ghost, to come back to the King James Version Bible. "To teach men so, he shall be called" what? "The least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do these things and also teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." So God wants us to know that. So these couple verses here are very important to understand what the Lord's telling us even this day, that every jot and tittle in the Hebrew language will come to pass, and we need to not take any of it out. And we've talked about this before on the program. You know, most of church pastors in America today and around the world claim that every word in the Bible is important. Well, we've got to make sure we're in the right Bible to start with, but the word is important. But the Jews say every letter is important because the letters describe things that we need to know in the physical realm and also the spiritual realm. And so it's amazing what we have with the Hebrew language. And I believe when we get to heaven, that's going to be the language we're going to have. We're all going to be speaking in Hebrew even if we don't know it right now. Thank you, Lord. I'd like to receive that right now to be able to do that. But one day that will be the case. And so he makes it clear that he did not come to abolish the Torah. We talked about this last 2 weeks. Or to destroy it in any way, shape. Or the prophets. And he jumped from just the Tanakh, I mean from the Torah to the Tanakh. "I am not come to destroy or abolish, but what? To fulfill." So it's an amazing thing we think about the Word of God. And so we have to be in the right place with His Word to know what we have. And so if we can get a King James Bible, now a lot of them have footnotes and all that, that's fine if you want to look at those, but you better examine those kind of closely too, because they might tell you what a definition of a word is that's really not that definition. So I tell people, if you look at the basic King James text, if you have a word that you don't really fully understand maybe what it means, look up in your concordance, if you got a concordance, look up the first time it's mentioned in the King James Bible, and you'll usually find out what that word means. And we also have a little book we have by David Daniels that shows some of those archaic words, they call them, that we don't use every day, like the word Anan. Well, Anan just means immediately. To look up some of those words, and you'll find out what they mean. And once you get accustomed to them, then you'll be all right. And so we can look at the text, and we have to believe it's exactly what God wants us to have. You know, men paid a great price to bring this Bible I have before me into place. I think about Wycliffe and Tyndale and some of all the men that were involved with the translation of the Bible, how it all came down. And then King James, he didn't translate that Bible. He authorized 54 men to translate it. Marvelous people that he chose, okay? And so it all led down to the King James Bible. And then after the King James Bible came, the rest of them just kind of faded away. The Bishop's Bible, the Geneva Bible, those were all used, those translations, to bring us to what we have today called the King James Authorized Version, because he authorized to have it done for you and I. And it was finished in what? 1611. It's been around a long time. Brought a lot of people in the kingdom of God. It delivered a lot of people. It brought people to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Just a lot of wonderful things happened. And so now today we got men that think they know more than God. So we have this higher criticism with these new Bibles that are out. And no wonder people are confused. They don't know what's going on.
That's right.
And so we need to know what's going on. And I thank God when we, in our congregation, I think everybody we have now are in the King James Bible. So we say, open up your Bible to Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, 18, and 19. We read it. It's the exact same words that we have. All of us are hearing the same thing. If we had 20 different translations out there in the congregation, it would all have a little bit of a different meaning.
Confusion.
So we want in confusion. We want the full truth and nothing but the truth. And so the Lord said that not one thing would be abolished or done away with. So we have to stay with the word that God gave us. And praise God, the lives that were, martyred, killed for you and I to have this wonderful book called the King James Bible. And I think about John Wycliffe. Talk about him quite often. I read some things in history about him. You know, Tyndale got burned at the stake, but Wycliffe, of course, he had a stroke and was unable to finish some things that he was starting to do there. I don't know what the translation, but it was finished anyway. And so he had a stroke, and so he died before they put him on the stake. And you know, the Catholic Church and all that day, they hated him so much that 40 years after he was dead and in the grave, they exhumed his body out of the grave, took all of his bones, and they burned them, and they threw him into a river. You know what the name of that river was, Pastor Donna? It was the River Swift.
Swift. Swift.
So his word moved swiftly through the land, through Europe completely, and he was a big part of it. And then Tyndale came, and it moved on. And so we just thank God for those men. So this is the Bible that God intended for us to be in. And I keep saying this all the time. Do you have a Holy Bible? My Bible on the front says a Holy Bible. What is a Holy Bible? The word holy means set apart by God for us. Some of these other Bibles say Holy Bible. Are they holy? I doubt whether they're holy or not. And so we understand this and hope we do anyhow, that you'll think about it. But so many churches today, they're in this NIV, and I like to call it the nearly intended version or the nearly inspired version, because it came from the Alexandrian Greek text that they came up with, which was perverted. That's what the New Testament is written on. The ones we want has to come from Antioch. Antioch. That's where we want the scriptures from. So I'm going to give you a few things here today that you can look up, and we're going to show you some examples, but there's hundreds of them. And so you think about it. If we had 64,098 less words in the NIV than we have in the King James Version, and there's more than that now since it's been renewed a few times, look what we've got. Look what's been left out. It's incredible. So I want to give you some examples here. And I have this track on the table at the church. If somebody would like to have a copy of this, we'll be glad to mail it to them, won't we, Pastor Donna?
Mm-hmm. Just before we leave, verse 18 in Matthew, where it talks about heaven and earth.
Mm-hmm.
Heaven and earth. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in
no wise
pass from the law till all the be fulfillment. Now, you know, Jesus spoke more than one language, but we're talking about Hebrew, the Hebrew language. If we just look at the Hebrew language and we think about this as the Hebrew language, you know, this language was, they tried to destroy this language.
Sure they did.
And really in recent years, has not that it has, it's never been destroyed, but you know, there are a lot of Jewish people that couldn't even read Hebrew. And there are a lot of people, Jewish people who can't read Hebrew.
Until the late 1800s, they began to be reinstated.
And then there's a lot of people that are believers, or we call them, the Jews would call us Gentiles, but we're believers in the Lord. If we're Jew or Gentile, we all come to the Lord. We're believers, right? We believe in Yeshua as the Lord and Savior. Well, Jesus is here. I believe he's talking about the Hebrew language here. And even though, you know, he knew the other languages that were used in those days, and perhaps they have jots and tittles as well. But this jot here in the Hebrew, if we just look at the Hebrew, like you said, it's the yod. It's the smallest letter.
That's right.
That is the smallest letter. It's the number 10. And their letters and numbers all represent something. It all represents a number. It represents the hand of God. And so much more. So that's the smallest letter. But now we're looking at the tittle. Now those are little marks that are on, not the little dots that are below the words. See, they didn't have all that back in those days. But it's a little, like a little thing at the top, a little like it goes up, you know, there's just a little bit of a stroke difference. And, or, you know, and there's also these little things called crowns that they have on different Hebrew letters, which mean different things. So we're looking at, you know, he says not one of these things is going to pass away. And we're talking, and I believe he's talking about the Hebrew language. And we can see how it has come, you know, how it has been, I'd say, revived. You know, it's come back to life. You know, it was sort of dormant in a way, in some ways, except for, you know, rabbis or those people in Israel or those who really study the Hebrew. They can read the Hebrew. They write the Hebrew. To buy a Torah would cost you a lot of money if you had to buy a Torah that was handmade. Of course, but now you can buy a Torah, and you may not be able to read it. We have one in our church. And we turn the pages, even though some of the words we recognize, and maybe somebody will come into our congregation that can read it. What a blessing. But just to see it there, it's just an honor to see the Hebrew, the letters, and to see how there's so much in it. You know, even when we're talking about going through the Red Sea, when you get to that part in Exodus, even the whole writing, it looks like there's the letters are traveling through the sea, the way that they put it on the pages. And it's like that in every single Hebrew Torah, the first five books of the Bible we're talking about. But he's saying throughout the whole Bible, Jesus is saying this, is in the New Testament, not one jot or one tittle, not one of the smallest marks. And I think it was, which will also mean, because we're talking about changing things, well, you know, if you change something, you're going to change the thought. You're going to change the meaning.
Absolutely.
Jesus says, my words shall not pass away. Mm-hmm. Not one mark, not one jot, not one tittle, because it's going to stay. And yeah. Who's going to keep it that way? Mm-hmm. The Lord will. See, it's man that changes things. And what Pastor Gene's going to mention now are some of the changes that have been made in all of these different Bibles.
Mainly the NIV, yeah.
Well, this is the one we're going to talk about today, mainly the NIV.
NIV, right.
Maybe next week we'll talk about the New King James. I don't know. But, you know, you really need to get this teaching that he has on this, or you need to find out more in depth about these Bibles, and we can recommend some things that you could look at or you could read. But you know, we just really need to know the truth. You know, when our country started, they didn't have all these other Bibles.
That's it.
They had
King James.
King James Bible. Well, you know, the Geneva Bible was before that, but others.
They were all good.
But they were all good. They weren't from this Westcott and Hort.
That's right.
Okay? They're from reputable
people. Translators.
Translations.
So anyway, that Westcott and Hort came into being about 1881, so it shows you how much longer after a country became a nation.
Mm-hmm.
So let's look at a few of these things, and I was going to look at some of the ones that are probably the worst. Okay, here's one for you, if you're at home. If you want to write this down, you can look it up later on. I'm just going to read part of it to you. Mark 11:26 is
I'll
a very important verse in the Bible.
Got it.
And we're going to find out in the NIV that this entire verse is missing completely in the NIV. This is what the King James says in Mark 11:26.
I'll read the King James.
Go right ahead.
You go ahead and read the false one.
Well, it's missing completely.
Oh, it's missing. Okay, it's missing completely.
Right.
Okay. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Well, why wouldn't they want to take that out?
That's right.
You know how many people hate and fight and they don't even forgive their brothers and sisters in church, or they don't forgive their natural brothers and sisters or parents? The Bible says that, you know, love is going to wax what? Cold.
That's right.
Why the Lord spoke to me this year, is the year 2016, and it's also the year 5776, according to the Jewish calendars. I'm not going to get into all the calendars now, but you know, that number six is this number of man. It's the Vav. And so, and he said to me, man's love is not going to work anymore.
Right.
We have to have the God kind of love.
Amen.
The agape love. The love of Christ.
That's right.
So what's it say? That whole
verse is missing completely.
But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. It's missing.
That's right.
I wonder why.
Yeah.
Okay.
Back up to Matthew 18:11 now.
18:11. Okay.
No, you read 18:11, and I'm going to tell you what it says in the NIV.
It says, "For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost."
Now, you know what the NIV says on that?
What?
That entire verse is missing. It's not in the NIV Bible.
It's gone.
Okay.
It just vanished.
It just went in. It just like a ghost. It just went away.
Eject. Right.
That's right. That's
delete.
Right.
Delete.
That's right. Delete. Yeah. Now go back to Mark again, where you're at. I'm sorry. Still in Matthew. Matthew 9 now.
Okay.
9:13. I want you to read that verse.
9:13.
One word changed or put out or redefined or left out can change the whole meaning of what God's
wanting
to say.
So you can see why if we were reading that in church and somebody has an NIV and that whole verse is gone, they're going to say, it's going to make them question in their mind. Is he right? Am I right?
That's
is this
right.
preacher right? Or is this my Bible right? Is his Bible right?
You got it.
That's right.
Brings confusion. Go ahead and read. 9:13.
9:13.
Okay. Of Mark. Or Matthew, I'm sorry.
Okay, I'm there.
Got Mark on my mind.
"But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance."
Okay, now I'm just going to look at the tail end of that verse in the King James, where she just read, "I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." The word repentance, to repentance, is left out. In the NIV, it says, "I have not come to call the righous, but sinners." Nothing about repentance.
You don't have to repent.
Don't have to repent.
Okay. That's what they're saying.
That's right.
But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says he's, but sinners to repentance. You know, we were sinners, and we have to come to repentance. And God is not interested in sacrifices. He wants our heart.
To be right. Amen. Now let's go to John chapter 6.
Thank you, Lord.
These are just a few. I mean, there's hundreds of these in the Bible, but no one wants to take the time to look at it. And if you do, it'll break your heart.
Because you have to look. You have to study.
You have to search.
You have to search. You know, Jesus talked about searching. If you search for me, you'll what?
You'll find me. John 6:47. All these things we're talking about, this particular verse, I asked myself a question. In whom must you believe in to be saved? Now read that, John 6:4.
Well, Jesus says,
47.
Verily, verily, twice.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying.
Maybe, most assuredly, yeah.
Listen. Verily, verily, I say unto you. Now he's talking to you. That means you, me. He that believeth on me hath everlasting life.
Now I'm going to show you something. They took out two little words in the NIV, and it can change the whole meaning. Listen to this. I tell you the truth. He who believes has everlasting life. Believes in what?
Believes what?
Yeah. What do you believe in? You have to believe in him, don't you? Isn't that right?
So taking out just one word, two words,
and change the whole meaning.
If you just take out one word,
yeah,
and just a letter on, it's one word.
That's right.
Okay.
Now I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. We'll look at another. We got a little bit of time here. Now, when I asked the question on this one, I'm going to ask you. I said, "For who did Jesus die for?" This is the question. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
First, what verse?
1 Corinthians 5:7.
5:7. It says, "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye," means you all, "ye, may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us."
Okay. Now, I'm going to read the tail end of that verse in the NIV. Two words are left out, and it's the words "for" and "us." Instead of saying Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us, it says Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Well, what was he sacrificed for? For you and I.
For us.
That's right. It's left out.
He was just sacrificed.
That's right.
No rhyme, no reason. You're right. It
That's
says
right.
He was sacrificed for us. But, amen, do they have purge out the old leaven in there?
Yeah.
But anyway, so we need to know what he was sacrificed for.
That's right. Now, here's another nice one. Go to Luke 2:33.
Luke 2:33.
The question I ask on this one, on this tract, if you want this, we'll be glad to mail it out to you. Just send a self-addressed envelope with a stamp, and we'll make a copy and mail it out to you. Now, this was the question I asked on this. Was Joseph really the father of Jesus? And these other Bibles make you think that Joseph was his father. Who was his father?
2:23.
The Heavenly Father. Yeah. Read that.
Okay. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord.
Are you in 2:33? 2:33.
Oh, I'm reading 23. That's good too. 2:33. Okay, sorry. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him.
Now, this is what the NIV says. The child's father, Joseph was not his father. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him.
You realize here what it says here. It doesn't say Mary.
Nope.
No, it makes it clear she's the mother.
She's
the one who gave birth. Okay?
That's right.
And Joseph is a man. It doesn't say Joseph the father.
Nope.
No. It doesn't say Joseph his dad.
Nope.
It says, and Joseph and his mother.
See, marveled.
Can we see the difference there?
Sure.
Now, if you don't really think about this, and that's why you need to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. If you don't really think about this, your mind will make you think that Joseph was his birth father.
That's right.
Which he wasn't.
He wasn't.
But it says, mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him.
So we have that. Now, let's go back to Mark. Mark 3:15 is another good one.
Mark.
Yeah, there's quite a few of these I have. The question I ask on this one now, as Donna turns there, is did Jesus give his disciples power to heal the sick, in other words?
Definitely.
Okay. We'll look and see what this says right here, okay?
Mark
3:15.
And to have power, I have that underlined in my Bible, to heal sicknesses. And to cast out devils.
Now, listen to what the NIV has on this verse. It says, authority to drive out demons, and all the rest of it's left out.
Oh, my gosh.
And so they leave out the power to heal sicknesses, and they just went and said to cast out demons. They're really devils. So that's left out about healing. So they're questioning whether Jesus could heal or not.
So where's the power?
Where's the power?
Where's the power?
That's right.
In the church to heal sicknesses.
That's right.
So, and see, they don't really believe. Some people don't even really know. They don't really know, or they have, they're double-minded. One moment they believe, the next moment they're questioning. They're questioning why. Well, if you're questioning God why, then you're not really totally believing in what his word says.
Absolutely.
Because you're questioning God.
That's right.
It says here, to have power to heal sicknesses. And the other thing is here, we're talking about casting out devils. You know, all these other Bibles say demons. And, this Bible says devils. And we need to realize that
one
the
devil,
devil
but little
is
devil's
out
working.
There.
That's right.
The devil is out there to kill, steal, and destroy. And the enemy, and Satan has many workers, many devils workers that are doing. You think Satan is the one who's always visiting. People says, oh, the devil made me do this. You think Satan's always there? No, it's his devils. It's the works of the enemy. It's those spirits of darkness.
That's right.
There's different spirits. There's spirits of fear. There's spirits. What about a spirit of doubt? If you have a spirit of doubt, you're going to doubt whether there's power to heal your sickness.
That's right.
Well, my sickness is too bad.
Yeah.
It can't be healed. And I have to do this or I have to do that. So then you're not relying upon the power of the Lord. You're not relying on that power. You're relying on the power of the medicine or the doctor. Or some of the source. We need to go first to the Lord and trust that he can heal us from sicknesses.
So they changed the word power to authority. Okay, that's another thing they did.
Mm-hmm.
Let's look at another one here.
If we realize too, because we always talk about, we're not doing this today, but we always talk about read before, read after, get the understanding of what the chapter's about. Okay, and what we're talking about here, these devils. If you look at verse 11, it says, and unclean spirits. See, there are many unclean spirits that are around. And they're around to this day. They were around then, and they're around now.
Amen. Now, here's another guy. We have time to do a couple more here. Let's go to Matthew 5:44. And what I ask on this one, on this tract, if you want it, you can receive it. Just like I said, send in a self-addressed envelope,
Amen.
And we'll make a copy and mail it to you. Matthew 5:44. The question I asked was, how must we deal with our enemies? Go ahead.
How must we deal with our enemies? 44. But I say unto you, these are Jesus' words, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Wow.
Now, listen to what the NIV says with all those words that Donna said. All it says is, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. So they leave out, bless them that curse you and do good to them that hate you. They leave that out completely. And even the part, despitefully use you. Okay. They leave all that out. Isn't that amazing when you think about it?
Does it say in there, pray for them?
Nope, doesn't say that either.
So it just
only... Well, it says pray for those who persecute you, but not for all the other things.
Not for the other things.
That's right.
It doesn't say love your enemies.
Yeah, it says love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. But look what left they
bless them that curse you? Yeah. People have told me, I'm not going to bless them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not going to bless somebody who's cursing me.
That's right.
You know, Christians say that. Yeah. Well, they don't know this word. They don't know what Jesus has said.
That's right, because they're in the wrong translation. Now, let's do one more. John chapter 16, verse 16.
Then we're running out of time.
Yeah.
16:16.
I have 10 things on this track if you want to receive this. Okay. 16:16.
Okay.
And what I ask on this question is, where did Jesus go? All right. Now, this is what the King James says. And go, you read it, honey.
Okay. It says, a little while, and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father.
Now, I'm going to read it in the NIV. Very close, but something's left out. Very important. In a little while, you will see me no more. And then after a little while, you will see me. That left out, because I go to the Father. They want to deny the resurrection. I'm going to go to the Father. See what I'm talking about? So this is what we have in this. And this is only one translation. But most of the New American Standard is all based on the same text and some of the others as well. So we see what we have here with the perversion of God's Word. It's just amazing when I think about all the things that are missing. The words are changed. And you know, I was given a word years ago on a Wednesday night. I've told the church this several times when I was preaching about something about the Word. And the Lord told me, he says, the power to define words is the power to control. So a lot of the Bible, see, to have another translation, they have to change the words, like, I don't know, 75 or 80% of the words, so they're not the same as the King James to be able to be copyrighted. Well, every time they change the words, they have to try and find another word to fit what the King James had to start with. Well, what it does, it waters the word down to less and less of what God wants us to really know about it. So what are they doing? They're controlling people by the definitions and what they say the word says. The power to define words, okay, is what? Mm-hmm. Is the power to control people. Hitler did it and a lot of other people did.
Amen.
So it's important we understand that. So what I'm going to do with you now, if you'd like to get a copy of this, we mentioned this, just send in a self-addressed envelope and we'll mail this track out. Or if you'd like to order the series I did on the King James Version Stands Alone, we told you we'd drop it to $20, mail it in, and we'll ship it out to you, and we know that you'll be blessed. It's got my testimony about how I came out of another translation, all that, and it's important. And why I mention this is this. Today at 4 o'clock, right now, what we're teaching, so the Lord just spoke to me. I've got two DVDs that we've had in the past. One of them we showed a long time ago, but this one's a new one that I've never shown at the church. We can't do it all in one session, but I'm going to do part of it today at 4 o'clock. It's called Tares Among the Wheat. This is what we just read. There's tares among the wheat.
That's
the wheat is God's word. The tares is what the devil wants to bring in and try to deceive you and lie to you.
A lie.
So we hope you got something out of this. I believe you did. And we're going to close here and ask you to pray about what you've heard and to accomplish it.
Well, this is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton. We're blessed to be on this radio broadcast, WCNO, every Saturday at 12 noon till 1. You can listen to us again. You go to your computer or your device, and you can listen to this again. We have services, like Pastor said, this afternoon at 4 o'clock and also tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. If you'd like to know more information about what we've said or if you have a question, you can give us a call at area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007.
Amen. So we're on this program every week because we want to raise the standard. We don't want you to, I should say, we want you to know the truth, and the devil wants to give you a lie. So we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this. So as we close this program every week, why don't we say, Pastor
Shabbat Donna? Shalom, Sabbath peace, and rest.
And we tell you to look up because your redemption draws nigh. Amen.
Amen.
We are
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that He is the Spirit of prophecy.